Psalms 31, 24 says what? It's a great promise, one that you and I ought to listen to and heed. Simply says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The word hope is what we are hanging our theme of worship on today. In the message, perhaps you recall that last week we started talking about the economic earthquake that seems to be shaking our nation and our world at this time. And we saw how many scriptures there are that affirm the reality that God is our help. Not idols, that's not our help. Not material possessions, not money, not financial security. God is our help. Well, today we see many promises in the Bible given to us that God is our hope. And you'll probably notice that help and hope go together very, very closely. I know last week we're talking about one, I had a hard time not talking about the other because they're so closely identified with each other, that God is our help, God is our hope. I mean, it makes sense the two go together, right? I mean, after all, if you're out in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay and the motor conks out on your boat and you cannot get it started, what do you hope for? Help! Boy, I sure hope that help comes along real soon because I need help out here in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay. Hope is what? The desire for deliverance from a tough situation. Hope is believing that things will improve, right? Hope is wishing that things would be better. And by definition, that's what help is. Someone or something that's moving us into a better situation or circumstance. So if you are drowning in debt and you don't have enough money to meet your needs, if you're afraid there's not going to be enough money when you get older and want to retire or you can't work anymore, what do you hope for? You hope for help. The question we want answered today is, what or who is our hope? Is it Uncle Sam and all the bailouts? Is it one political party or is it the other political party? Is it the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 500 points in 4 days? Woohoo! Is that our hope? Or is it the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses and David and Jeremiah, the God of Ezekiel and Jesus and Peter and Paul and John and Brenda and Benita and Brian and Billy and the God that you claim as God today? Is that our hope? You know, Proverbs 19:21 says something very, very important. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You and I can plan all we want to, but will our plans work out? Maybe, maybe not. You and I can do all sorts of figuring about how we're going to have it made, get rich, live on easy street, something like that. Will our plans become reality? They might. They might not. Proverbs 19:21 assures us that it's not our plans that ultimately become reality, but it is God's what? God's purpose that prevails. There can be a tremendous difference between the two. You recall that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane had a plan. He told the Father what his plan was. You know, I really don't want to go through a lot of suffering. I really don't want to die. My plan is that I could get out of this, have this cup pass from me. And he said, but I don't necessarily want to go with my plan if your purpose is something different. And the Father answered him back, what? Son, I'm sorry, but we can't go with your plan. We need to go with my purpose, that the world, all people, are going to be saved and brought to me through your suffering, your death. That's my purpose. That was a hard thing to hear. Very, very hard thing to hear, but Jesus heard it and he didn't. You know, I confess it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. How about you? Does that make sense to you? But that's the hard thing that we are asked to do. Trust that God's purpose is bigger and better and more on target than our plans. Okay? Even when it comes to money. And that's what we're talking about today. Earlier, you heard in 1 Chronicles 29, some of this stuff. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. That's what David said to God in this prayer. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, says David in his prayer. You know, it's really easy to nod in agreement and say, yeah, that's true. I believe that. God owns everything. And we say that when we're in church and when we're thinking about it religiously, you know. But then we walk out of here and we act as if it's completely not true. And we talk about my house and my car. And we talk about my stuff, my family, my bank account. So mine. We're very possessive. Very possessive. And we act as if it doesn't belong to God. Wow. Perhaps the most mature thing that we can do today is become convinced that God's purpose in our lives is more important than our plans. And God has a purpose for your life. I wonder what it is. Do you know? Hope so. Psalms 31:24 says what? Let's go back to it. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. During tough and difficult times, we're not inclined much to pray that prayer. When we're really in need, what we're inclined to pray is usually asking God for stuff and saying, well, God, what are you going to do for me? I need some help here, Lord, and I hope that you're going to come through. It's not a bad prayer as far as it goes. At least you're trusting God with that. But it's a far cry from saying, Lord, teach me to do your will, and I'm going to put all my hope in you. Instead, we often say, I'm going to put my hope in my specific expectations of you, God. And there's a big difference between the two. Perhaps lately you've been wondering, what's going to happen to me financially? What should I do in this financial crunch? Lord, where do you want me to turn next? Can you give me some specifics? Of course, we are not to ask about God's will just out of idle curiosity. This is not just a mental exercise going on here, some philosophical exercise going on. No, this is where the rubber hits the road. It matters to you materially. It also should matter to you and I spiritually as well. Is God the God of hope in times of trouble, or is he not? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, another great verse we need to find. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. What does it say? In all circumstances? Come on, really? You say, I'm broke. Praise the Lord. You say, I'm afraid of losing my job, or I have lost my job. Thank you, Father. Business is drying up really, really bad. My investments have just been swirling and going down the drain. Oh my goodness, where is it going? Praise the Lord. Money is worse than tight. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Looks like a misprint, doesn't it, up there? Praise the Lord in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. But God's word says to do it, there must be a good reason for doing so. Must even be a good reason to be happy, rejoicing, even when you're broke. Time and again, we see Jesus, and he's our model for things, and what is he doing? When he's offered the world's goods, when he's offered the world's money, when he's offered the world power and fame, what's he doing? No, I pass. No, I don't want that. No, I'm not taking that. That's not my game. That's not what I'm going to do. You know, he could have owned it all. He could have owned the whole world, a man of his talents, intelligence, gifts, and abilities, and powers, charisma, the whole thing. He could have had everything. And Jesus said, I don't want it. What does it profit a man? What does it profit a person if he or she should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Where's the profit in that? Nope. To Jesus, the bottom line is never about money, but it's always about God's purpose. That's Jesus. Never about money, always about God's purpose. Say, wait a minute. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Okay. Deuteronomy 6, 13. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only. Put this up because isn't that the very thing that Jesus told Satan or the devil when he dangled the whole world in front of him? Said, you can own it. It's all yours. I offer it to you. And Jesus says, nope. No, I fear God more than I want this. I'm going to serve him only. Jesus was not afraid of being poor. Jesus was afraid of letting God down. You know? Jesus was not going to trust his financial clout. He was not going to trust his ability to buy things. And he knew that the only thing worth having in life was God's approval. And he certainly had that. Remember when he was baptized? He didn't own anything at all, but there's this voice from heaven that says, hey, this is my beloved son. In him, I'm well pleased. He got God's approval. So what's more important to you and me? Is it financial security or is it faith security? And the important way that we only find that faith security is in hope. Only hope. And in the right thing and in the right person. Gina began the service today by reading the scripture that defines hope for us. Hope, according to Hebrews 11:1, is what? Trusting in something or someone you cannot see. And that's what bothers us about God. You can't see him. You can't hold him. You can't feel him. You can't weigh him. You can't add him up. But you can do that with money. I can see money, I can feel money, I can touch money, I can add it up. Therefore, we make the mistake of going with the tangible we can touch, money, rather than the intangible we can't touch, God. So our hope is often in this and not in that. Hope is by definition a very optimistic emotion and attitude, isn't it? Hope is full of optimism. Expecting that something might happen that's going to make you feel better or make you better off. That's hope. That's optimism. And to lose hope, well, that's a terrible thing. Have you ever read accounts of people who were prisoners of war for many, many years or who've been kidnapped and held in the jungle against their will or were in some kind of terrible situation for a long time? What's the one thing they talked about they said they had to hang on to, that they just had to have? Yeah, they missed their families, and they missed their stuff, and they missed their life and so forth, but there was one thing they'd had to have to survive and to make it, and that was hope. They said, I knew I had to hang on to that because if I let go of that, I didn't have meaning, I didn't have purpose, I didn't have a future, and I could have just folded up and died right there on the spot. Hope, always important. Do you think economic recessions are anything new? Nah, you can go back. We've been told about, we've had them, you know, we've just kind of been a while. We've forgotten about them. But economic depressions have been around all throughout the history of mankind. And you go back to the book of Genesis and you read that great big story about a guy named Joseph. And Joseph was a Hebrew who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He ends up being held in Egypt against his will. He was in a terrible shape. But God gave Joseph what? A lot of gifts and abilities, but the ability to interpret dreams. And Pharaoh had this really bad dream that just would distressed him greatly. Remember what the dream was? He had a dream that there were seven fat cows, seven great big fat cows. And then as he was watching, these seven emaciated cows came up and they ate the seven fat cows. and they were still skinny. They were still emaciated. And Pharaoh said, "Hey, guys, what in the world is that all about?" Somebody said, "We know a guy who can tell you." Joseph was called before Pharaoh, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I know. I tell you what's happening here is this dream is about Egypt, and the world is going to experience 7 years of tremendous prosperity. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is going to be way, way up there. I mean, we are going to be rolling in dough. We're going to have a lot of crops. It's going to be wonderful, but going to be followed by a recession. 7 years of famine are coming." That's what it means. Pharaoh says, "Oh, great. Sounds like a good news, bad news situation if I ever heard one. Now, what do we do about it?" Joseph says, "Oh, well, I know that too. Here's what you ought to do. Lay aside one-fifth, 20%, during all seven of the bad times. Save it. Save it, man. And then when during the good times, then when the bad times come, then you dole it out little by little, and you'll have enough." Man, that's a good plan. Very good plan. Are you saving right now? Or were you saving during the good times? You know how much Americans were saving during the good times? Oh, it got on down to 0% of people's income. Actually, it got a little bit lower. They were spending more than they were making. That's the average. You know what's happened now during this recession? You know what the savings rate has gone to? The average American is saving about 5% of his or her income. That's good. Of course, it's not real good for the economy because then people aren't spending, right? And it's not turning around and coming the other way. But if it's a habit that you are developing now, continue to develop it and do it. It's very, very wise. Joseph was blessed by God. He was very, very wise. And you say to yourself, "Okay, I know, I ought to save. I ought to do that during good times. But what about during the bad times? What about right now?" Well, question is, are you or one of your friends or one of your family members having a career crisis, having lost a job, can't find work in that career again? That's a bad situation to be in. You know, there's one big mistake that you can make during a career crisis, and that is to isolate yourself. You know, hide it. And that's understandable, out of embarrassment or whatever, and that's what people often do. Like the guy I read about who lost his job, but he left the house every morning. He was able to do this for 3 weeks because he didn't want to admit to his wife that he'd lost his job. He left the house and stayed away all day as if he was still working. About after 3 weeks, she discovered that he wasn't. Why in the world would you want to isolate yourself from your spouse, your family members, or your friends? That's exactly the opposite thing we ought to be doing. We ought to be telling our family, telling our friends, telling our business association, telling our church friends, "Hey, we're out of work. We need employment." How in the world are they going to make a recommendation? How are they going to let you know about a job? How are they going to happily refer you to somebody else who's hiring unless they know about it? So, seek the help of friends and family, recruiters, search firms, online career placement. Help. I understand that crossroadscareer.org is a good place to go. Crossroadscareer.org, a trusted source of help in a career crisis. In a financial crisis, if you're a financial crisis, there's a great verse in Ecclesiastes that says, "Two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up the other." A financial coach or coaches can lift us up and help you decrease your debt and increase your savings. And only a fool tries to go it alone. Only a fool tries to not ask for any help. So it's okay to ask. When it comes to creditors, a lot of people want to run away from their creditors. They tell us that's not the right thing to do. You ought to run to your creditors. Lay it all out for them. Tell them your problems. And say, "I want to pay this back, but I'm having these stresses and difficulties." You know, most creditors are happy to work with you. They don't like to take your house into foreclosure because that's a big, huge hassle and expense for them. They don't want to go to court because that's expensive. That's a hassle. So many creditors will work with you if you just go to them and ask. There's another help, consumer credit counseling service. It's a good example of a company that will help people in debt and act as a mediator between you and your creditors. Did you notice their phone number is what? 1-888-771-HOPE. Hope, help. Remember, they go together. That's good. That's good. Consultation is free with this thing. Now, you got to watch out for other things during times like this. Watch out for the scams. There are plenty of scams out there. If it's too good to be true, it is, right? There are a whole lot of things they want to, a lot of ads on the internet, a lot of things promising. You can just do a little work, do this stuff at home, and you'll have this great big income. Man, don't buy into that. Don't send money away for something they're going to send you, because your money will go out, but it will never come back. There's lots of lies, lots of ripoffs, lots of scams going on. So don't fall for them. Also, too, it's always a good thing to remember, never to fall for that prosperity gospel that's out there. You've heard the preachers. You'll see them, a lot of them on TV. God wants you rich. God wants you successful. Call it the prosperity gospel. God wants you rich. The truth is, that turns Christianity completely on its head. God wants no such thing. God wants you, period. Whether you're rich, poor, middle class, in between, it doesn't matter. And God doesn't want everybody rich. That's a lie. He just wants you, however you are. Because actually, Jesus said he wasn't real interested in making a whole lot of rich people. You know why? Because it's hard for a rich person to find the kingdom of heaven, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Somebody raised his hand and say, how hard is it? He said, it's so hard, it's like trying to get a camel through a, what? Eye of a needle. He said, that's how hard it is for a rich person to get unhung up on their riches and pay attention to God, because they're relying on their riches. They have so much. Boy, it's as hard for them to find the kingdom of God as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So he didn't sound too interested in making us rich. And yet, during tough, difficult times, if you're having a difficult time making it, it is okay to take an additional job or additional work. Get out there and try to do more. Don't want to try to work yourself to death. That's a big mistake. That's not necessarily putting hope in God, but it's okay to do. I was aware of, in the early 90s, there was the pastor of a prominent church here in Richmond who had a couple kids in college, and he couldn't quite make it on the good salary that the church was paying for him. They couldn't raise it, so he went out and got a paper route. This prominent pastor goes out and gets a paper route. That's okay. That's really okay. Again, in short, folks, our hope is not in our efforts, not in our schemes, not in our plans. Our hope is in the one who always has us in his love and keeping. Our hope is in God. And I hope that you and I are able to trust him with this, our money or our lack of it. Our finances, is it really, really his? Let's hope that it is so.